greetings from Northside Baptist Church. And August 6th, 7th, and 8th, we'll be having our annual conference. And if you don't know where we're at, when you get to Todd County, Kentucky, when you get to the only traffic light in the county, go south a quarter mile, and there we are. And we love home church. Lord blessed us to be member here for 3 years. It's hard to believe we've been gone almost 32 years from here. But some of the fondest memories in our Christian life were spent here at Home Baptist Church. I had just left pastoring a Mesic Baptist Church in northern Michigan. We came down here. We joined Home Church, and on the way to services that morning, I told Linda, I said, I'm going to join Home Church today. She says, maybe you, but not me. But we did, at the same time. And Liberty Baptist Church was having a revival that following week. Brother Titus says, would you like to go down to Liberty with me? And I said, sure. Well, we moved into the trailer park down here, and he pulled in the drive, and I come out, and I got in the car, put it in reverse, and he says, I want you to understand, I'm the pastor of Home Baptist Church. All right? And from that point on, we had just one of the most wonderful relationships that you could have. But we'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And our text verse will be verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18 says, but now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased Him. Our subject is faithfulness. I don't believe there's a lot of people today who truly understand what faithfulness is. And one reason why I don't believe they do, and many of them haven't been said in the church. And we've all been guilty of setting people in our pews. And most of the time we pay for it. A few years ago, there was a young man saved right at the end of our conference at Northside. And we'd prayed for this young man for many years, and I have no doubt that he was saved. We baptized him a week later. And then short time after that, he got a girlfriend who was a member of a Southern Baptist church. Well, he started one week, he was at Northside, and next week he was with her at the Southern Baptist Church. Oh, we talked to him about it. He says, well, the Lord just hasn't rebuked me. And one of the men said, you don't want the Lord to rebuke you. Then he made a statement. He says, well, I just followed exactly what Brother Smith and you have preached for years. You're supposed to be baptized wherever you were saved. Before I could say anything, one of the men says, you've never heard that preached from the pulpit here. Amen. But faithfulness. You can only be faithful to a church of the Lord Jesus Christ if you've been set in that church. Amen. And as he says here, but now have the Lord set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. If you're a member of a New Testament Baptist church and you were set in that church, it's because the Lord has set you there because it pleased Him. Amen. And as we look further up here in verses 12 and 13, he says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body. So also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. We notice in these verses the Holy Spirit is mentioned. And this is how God speaks to us when He sets us in a church. I remember very vividly the morning that I was traveling down Mount Morris Road here to attend New Hope Baptist Church. Brother Hamill was the pastor. I'd been going out there, and from a human standpoint, you'd say, why in the world did I ever go back? I didn't believe anything he preached. And I thought he was the craziest man I ever heard preach. He'd preach on church truth and scriptural baptism. But on my way out there that morning, in January of 1971, it was like the Lord said, I want you to be a member of New Hope Baptist Church. And I couldn't wait to go up front and present myself for scriptural baptism. Amen. And from that day forward, I began to understand what he was preaching. You know, you're not going to understand truth. And the truth that Brother Works has preached to us this morning, you're not going to begin to understand that unless the Lord has set you in a New Testament Baptist church. Amen. And if He has set you in a New Testament Baptist church, you need to be faithful.
Amen.
Faithful to the church that He has set you in. Now, as we look through these verses here, and then we'll move on, but real quickly, let's look at verse 14. He says, for the body is not one member, but many. People need to understand that. Being a member of a New Testament Baptist church is not all about me.
Amen.
It's not me. It's us.
Amen.
Those whom the Lord has set in each body. He says, for the foot shall not say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? In other words, do we need our hands and do we need our feet?
Right.
Yes. We are of need of both.
Right.
Everybody is not the hands in the church. Everybody is not the feet. But both are needed. And he says, if the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Do we need our ears? Do we need our eyes? Yes, we do. He says, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one in the body, as it hath pleased Him. After looking at these verses before this, does not verse 18 mean more to you now? Does every part of our body, and he goes on, and we're not going to read any further here, but he goes on and he mentions more body parts. I need every bit of this body. I need my hands. I need my arms. I need my legs. I need my feet. I also need my heart and my lungs and my eyes and my nose. I need every part of this body to function as a human being. Now, I understand that people can be blind and still function. My mother was blind. I understand people can be deaf and still function. I had an aunt who was deaf. You can function without an arm. You can function without a leg. My grandfather had lost an arm in a sawmill accident. You can function, but you still are not like a complete body.
Amen.
Every member of every New Testament Baptist church is important to that church.
Amen.
We need each member of each New Testament Baptist church. And we need them to be faithful. I just recently preached the funeral for Ollie Brown. She had met a member at New Hope or at Northside Baptist Church. She was one of the charter members. In later years, she was 85 years old. And a few years ago, her siblings decided they could care better for her if they moved her to Clarksville. And so she moved to Faith Baptist Church in Clarksville. But her heart was still at Northside. And she'd always said when she passed, she wanted me to preach the funeral. But this lady, she would come to church when she was sick. She came to church with a walker. She came to church a couple times and we had to call and have her taken to the hospital because she passed out. She wanted to be at church. And there was a couple times when there were some problems going in around in the church, and they'd call her and she'd say, "Don't talk to me. This is my church and this is my pastor." Those are the kind of members we need. Those are the ones that are faithful. Those are the ones that some of those that sneeze and stay home need to look at. We want to look at another avenue as far as this faithfulness is concerned. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And get a little closer connection to being set in the body. 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 2 says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth here, he says, "I have espoused you to one husband." Do you understand what an espousal is? If you want, and I'm not going to turn there, but if you want to look at the seriousness of an espousal, go back and read chapter 1 of the book of Matthew. Mary was espoused to Joseph when the Holy Spirit came to her, or when the angel came to her and told her that she was going to be with child of the Holy Spirit. When Joseph, her espoused husband, found that she was with child, he didn't want to shame her, so he was going to put her away privately, thinking that she had committed adultery. But the angel come to him in a dream, said, "Fear not, Joseph. She's with the child of the Holy Spirit. And he whom she's going to give birth to is Jesus. You should call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins."
Amen.
He also told them, he says, "His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us." But what was that espousal? An espousal, and sometimes we wish today we could maybe go back to that, but in other times I'm glad we don't. But parents would set up an espousal between their son and their daughter. And whenever that espousal was made, those two had the same responsibilities as those who were married. They were espoused to one another. They were engaged to one another. And in that espousal, they were to be faithful as though they had already repeated marriage vows. Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth here, he says, "I have espoused you to one husband." What does that mean? As true New Testament Baptist churches, we are espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ.
We are engaged to Him. So therefore, we have a responsibility to be faithful unto the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. My responsibility and your responsibility to be faithful unto whatever church the Lord has set you in. And this is important. It's important that you understand that the Lord has set you in a particular church, and that particular church is espoused unto the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, this is a familiar verse, should be anyway. But he says here, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Now, what day is that that he's talking about? He's talking about the day when the Lord's going to split that eastern sky and call us home. The closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the more determined we ought to be faithful unto the church of the Lord Jesus Christ that we've been placed in. And you know, we're closer today than we were yesterday. And if He gives us another day on this earth, we're going to be closer tomorrow. So what is that telling us? We need to be more earnest in our faithfulness unto the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In whatever church that you're a member of, you need to strive to be faithful unto that body. Now, I've experienced in my ministry, and I'm sure everybody else here who has been in the ministry at any time, people get mad for whatever reason, and they go, all of a sudden, you know, they're at another church. I don't think the leadership of the Lord is in somebody's anger.
Amen.
There's a lot of people who have moved from one church to another and said, the Lord led me. You'd like to look in his face and call him a liar. But what do? Let the Lord deal with that. Let the Spirit of God deal with them.
Amen.
But at the same time, if we're members of a New Testament Baptist church, we need to be sure that the Lord is leading us if we go somewhere else.
Amen.
I've been a member of a New Testament Baptist church for over 44 years and was called to preach about 3 years later, and been either doing mission work or pastoring for, I'm not exactly sure, probably about 36, 37 years, something like that. And I've never had a problem being faithful to wherever the Lord has placed me.
Amen.
When I was called or extended the call to Northside Baptist Church, I prayed and I prayed. I prayed about it. I was pastoring Calvary Baptist Church in Kendall City, Kentucky. And Monday morning, or Tuesday morning it was, when I left the house that morning to go to work, I said, I'm going to call Northside Baptist Church tonight and tell them I'm not going to go. I had to drive about 85 miles from our house to Lexington. I got about 5 miles before you got to the end of the Mountain Parkway to get I-64, and it was like the Lord hit me between the eyes. You're going to Northside Baptist Church. And they kept me late at work that night. I got home in time to shower and go to bed. So I put a note on the table Wednesday morning and told Lynn, I said, we're going to Northside. And we hadn't talked to anybody. I hadn't even talked to her yet, other than leaving that note. And there was a lady on our door. She says, I understand you're
moving, and I'm already approved for a loan. I want to buy your house. Does that not tell you that's the leadership of the Lord? You haven't even put your house up for sale and somebody's ready to buy it? When those things come, you need to react. You need to follow the Lord's will. But another point as far as faithfulness is concerned, something that we don't always hear a lot about anymore, but spiritual adultery is a real sin. Spiritual adultery is a real sin. Looking in Hosea, and this spiritual adultery, I believe, has become a problem in our age of mobility. People think there's nothing wrong with just taking off whenever, wherever, and as long as there's a church of like faith and order, it's all right to be gone because you're going to be in the church on the Lord's day. The Lord has set us in a particular body for a particular reason. And I believe the same way with those who think it's all right to be snowbirds and to spend 3 or 4 months in warm climates so that you miss the snow and the ice and then come back and think you're faithful. You're not.
Amen.
You're not. If you're not faithfully serving the Lord where He has placed you, in essence, you're committing spiritual adultery. How many here, with looking at your spouse, whether you be a wife or a husband, how many of you here would think it's all right for your spouse to take off for 3 or 4 months and take up with another man or woman, whatever the case is? You think that's all right? I don't. It's no more right. If the Lord has added you to a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to take 2 or 3 months off or 4 months and away from that church and say, I'm faithful. You're not. You're not. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12, he says, my people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them, for the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they have gone a whoring from under their God. Many people today have the idea, as long as I'm attending a church of like faith and order, I'm fine. I'm fulfilling my duties. But where has the Lord placed you? Where has He set you? And I know there have been pastors who are just as guilty of this. They think nothing of taking off, being absent from their churches on a excessive point or time. And it's just as wrong for me as it is for you. I'm 2 or 3 Sundays out of a year is about all I'm ever gone from my pulpit. And why? Because that's where the Lord has placed me. That's where the Lord has called me.
Amen.
As a pastor, I have a responsibility to feed my sheep.
That's what
I'm an under shepherd. I'm to feed the flock. I don't know if anyone's ever seen a shepherd out in the field. When I was in the United States Army, I spent 2.5 years. In Germany, you may have heard me say this before, but there in the spring, there was always shepherds that moved through our base, And these shepherds, there's usually just one shepherd, but he'd have two dogs. And he'd have this flock of sheep, and he'd be standing behind them. And if a sheep decided to go astray over here, he'd whistle at this dog, and that dog would bring him back. If one over here, he had a different whistle for this dog over here, and that dog would bring those sheep back in line. And then in the fall, they'd reverse, and you'd see him going through the other way. And many times since then, after I was called to preach, I've thought about that. Here I am. I'm supposed to guide these sheep. I'm to feed the flock. And I can only feed you if you're there. If you're somewhere else, if you're somewhere else than where the Lord has placed you, you're not getting what God intended you to get. Each one of us pastors have the responsibility to preach to our people what the Lord would have them to have at that particular time.
Amen.
And if you're not there, you aren't going to receive that. You know, I have a name that everybody gets spelt wrong. Irving Cummins. That's usually, when you look at it, they'll spell Irvin Cummings. But my dad always says, I don't care, as long as you don't call me too late to eat. Well, if you're not here, you're too late to eat. Every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, if you're a member of Home Baptist Church, you need to be here to receive what God has given this body.
Amen.
At Northside Baptist Church, you need, if you're a member there, you need to be there to hear and receive what the Lord has for you.
Yeah.
I don't think if you went to each one of these churches that are being pastored by these men, these various men, there'd be a whole lot of variation of what you would hear. May not be the same time, but we pretty much all, we're going to all preach the same truth. But we're going to preach it at the time that the Lord wants our flock to hear it. And we need to be faithful to be present to hear what the Lord wants us to hear at that particular time. Now, let's look at another area here in this same thought. Let's go back to second chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, beginning of verse 41. He says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they believed, and all they that believed together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Again, the Lord added. They met together. Now, there's some other things here that I believe that's another message as far as those that were there. They were all from various parts of the known world at that time. And I believe that they did depart and went back to the various areas. But I think before they did, they sat there, they were taught, and I believe they were organized into New Testament Baptist churches and sent back.
And you say, why do you say that? Well, when Paul left Jerusalem, he went to Tarsus. It was about 2 years later when Barnabas went and got him and brought him to Antioch. And I don't think Paul sat for 2 years in Tarsus and twiddled his thumbs. I think he was in a New Testament Baptist church during that time. You may disagree with me, but that's all right. We're still friends. But here in this, they were not Catholics. Do you understand what Catholicism means? What Catholic means? Universal. We are not universal churches.
That's
right. When you attend home church, you remember home church, it's not all right to go off somewhere else and say, I've done my duty.
Yeah.
We're not Catholics. That's what Catholics do. You know, if they're a member of a Catholic parish, as they call it, and if they come to Elkton, there's a little Catholic church there, they're considered that, you know, they're still faithful. We're not Catholic. We're not Catholics. If the Lord has set you in a church, that's where you need to be faithful. And as far as these here in Acts 2, and they were added to the church, what church were they added to? Go back to verse 15 of chapter 1. It was the church of Jerusalem. It was the church that Jesus established. It was that church he spoke of in Matthew chapter 16, 18. This one he had reference to in Matthew 18. His church. And as Brother Works told us, you know that verb, it means he's continually building. We're continually seeing churches established. Not as many today as we have in years gone by. There's many churches today that have gone by the wayside. You know, 40 years ago here, there was in this county, there was probably, and I'm guessing, probably 6 or 8 churches that we could fellowship regularly with. How many you got now? Two or three. That's sad in a way. But yet at the same time, when the Lord comes, every church he intends to be still in operation will be.
Amen.
No, a few years ago, when Brother Clark was still alive, someone was saying, we just don't see the men being called to preach anymore like we used to. And Brother Clark, in his wisdom, says, well, brother, Lord may not need them.
Yeah.
Every man that he needs, he will call. Every church that he establishes, and I say he, because it's all the working of the Holy Spirit,
amen,
will be established.
Amen.
And we who have been added to a New Testament Baptist church, we need to be faithful to that church. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 10 and look a little closer at these verses and see what our responsibility as far as faithfulness is concerned. Looking here in verse 19, first of all, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's the beginning. And we were saved, and then we were added to a New Testament Baptist church. Then he goes on, he says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful
that promised. What are we holding on to? What we've been taught from the pulpit of the church that we're a member of. Now, through the years, it's astonished me sometimes the amount of people who've been members of New Testament Baptist churches for 35, 40 years or more, how ignorant they are. I knew a person one time that their son was disciplined from a church, and the week after he was disciplined from a New Testament Baptist church, joined a Nazarene church. The mother, who had been a member of a church for 40 years, her response was, everybody has to have their own church. He said, what in the world did she learn in 40 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I'd be devastated if that happened to one of my children. But, well, everybody's got to have their own church. But we see here there's a responsibility and faithfulness. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Provoke here doesn't mean to make everybody mad. I think some people think that. But this means to encourage. To encourage. Do you come into the house of God and encourage those that are there to worship the Lord? Those who are ill, do you ever call them and encourage them? And tell them that you're praying for them, that they could come back to the house of God. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Even the days of Paul, there were some that weren't faithful. He says, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another to be faithful. But he also, in this, tells us there are consequences when we're not. He says, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What's he talking about here? I believe he's talking about the chastisement of God to the point even of death. He says in 1 John to pray for those that have sinned. But if you've seen somebody sin a sin unto death, don't pray for them. You know, many times when we've dealt with people, sometimes you just have to say, I'm leaving them in the hands of the Lord. There's nothing more we can do. I mean, you've gone through every scripture you know. You've pointed everything out that's wrong in why they shouldn't be mad or why they shouldn't be forsaking the house of God. And it's like knocking your head against a wall. So you just say, Lord, I'm leaving them in your hands. And he goes on in verse 27, he says, you know, in verse 26, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. He says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment suppose ye shall be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Those who are unfaithful unto the house of God, unto the church that they've been placed in, need to read verse 29.
Amen.
And understand what he's saying here.
It's a fearful thing, he says here in verse 31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. They despised Moses. And they were punished without mercy. And he says, how much more? How much more shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God? Do you realize when somebody is unfaithful to a church that they've been placed in by the Holy Spirit, that they're trodden underfoot the very blood of Christ? That's a fearful thing.
Amen.
It's a fearful thing. And our desire would always to be able to teach the Word of God, that people understand what faithfulness is and the severity of not being faithful.
Amen.
It's a serious thing to be a member of a New Testament Baptist church. It's a serious thing to forsake that body, because it is spiritual adultery. And spiritual adultery is a real sin. A serious sin. I doubt there's anyone here, hopefully there's no one here, that entertains any thoughts of being unfaithful to their spouse. You need to have the same seriousness in serving the Lord in a true New Testament Baptist church.
Amen. Amen. Amen.